Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. This is the second of two books written by the gospel writer Luke. The passage we're reading this morning comes from chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This can be found on page 1692 of the Pew Bible. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The past 7 weeks had been a roller coaster for this group of friends. Their beloved teacher, leader, friend had been sentenced to death on trumped-up charges that didn't make any sense. His execution was public, slow, painful, gruesome. His burial was rushed because of the Sabbath mandate to cease all work on that day. And when two of the women in the group had gone the day after the Sabbath to complete the burial rites, his body was gone. Not just gone, though, like someone had taken it, but Jesus was risen from the dead, just like he had said he would be. He was indeed the Messiah they'd been waiting for. And in the weeks since the resurrection, the disciples had been able to walk and talk and eat once again with their Messiah. This moment was the hinge in the center of all of history, and they were here to watch it. 40 days after he'd risen, just like he'd said he would, he was taken up into heaven after promising them that his spirit would come down soon to carry them out into the world with the message of good news. And as they gathered for prayer that day, while the rest of the city celebrated the Pentecost holiday, you could almost feel the anticipation in the air. They didn't know what to expect, or when to expect it, but every time they gathered, their excitement and hope increased. Maybe it's today. At first, as they began to pray, it seemed like any other prayer on any other day, but then the walls began to rattle, and their hair began to move as though they were outside on a breezy day. At first, it was just a whistle through the cracks in the corners of the room, but soon the room was filled with violent, rushing wind. This was not what they had expected Jesus meant when he said he'd send his spirit down. And like ribbons, fire began to descend from above and rest on each of them. Overwhelmed by the power of this frightening, wild, amazing Spirit of God, the disciples couldn't help but tell the good news. Each of them began to speak the gospel in a language they'd never spoken before, and soon a crowd gathered at this wild commotion. Many in the crowd were amazed, but many in the crowd said, "Somebody's been hitting the bottle a little early today, haven't they?" The disciples weren't deterred by the ones who made fun of them, because the Holy Spirit could not be quenched by the unbelievers. I wonder if we believe that. Not just the story. Sometimes I wonder if we believe that too, but do we truly believe that the Holy Spirit can't be quenched by unbelievers? Sometimes I wonder if we believe the Holy Spirit is even there, really there. Or if we do, we kind of act like the Holy Spirit is just sometimes there when it's convenient, makes a couple people put their hands up during church and then leaves until next year. Just the other week, as I was putting together the church services for this month, picking out hymns and scriptures, prayers, I was really frustrated trying to find hymns about the Holy Spirit that aren't boring. Now, I own a lot of hymnals, for the record. It's not just our hymnal at this church. It's not for lack of resources or trying. They all had a pretty sorry selection. I just couldn't seem to find a piece of music that fully communicated the power of this violent, rushing wind, this fire from heaven. Something so powerful that the people of God were accused of being drunk at 9 a.m. They were acting so strangely. I once stood on my front porch watching a tornado with my dad. It was about a quarter mile down the road. I know what a violent, rushing wind looks and sounds and feels like. And most of our Holy Spirit music and liturgy is more like a 20-year-old box fan set on low than it is a violent, rushing wind. It's like a Bic lighter, not tongues of fire from heaven. Why don't we trust anymore that God is going to move powerfully? How is it that this violent, rushing wind has been tamed so much in our liturgy and in our theology? Why is the Holy Spirit confined to a few less than fantastic pages of the hymnals? Is it because when we walk around outside these walls, we don't see much changing? Maybe it's because we're waiting for the world to change and get back to us. Maybe we're defining renewal in the church by the numbers of new converts who wander in from outside, but if that's the case, we have Pentecost backwards. We definitely see in our passage today that the Holy Spirit reached outside the walls of the first church. The disciples speaking in many different languages would have been completely pointless if it weren't so that they could spread the gospel to those who spoke other languages. But the Holy Spirit came first into the house where the disciples were gathered. What we see in Pentecost is not the Holy Spirit reforming the outside and bringing it in to renew the church, but the Holy Spirit reforming the church first to then bring renewal to those outside of its walls. Our Christian celebration of Pentecost is a celebration of renewal of the people of God, but Pentecost is not a solely Christian holiday. While it means something very different for us Christians, it was first a Jewish celebration. If you're really interested in the history of Pentecost, I attached a couple of pages to the back of the sermon for this week. But the short story is that Pentecost was, and it still is for practicing Jews, the celebration of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Passover was the celebration of their liberation from the Egyptian slave masters, and Pentecost, following it later, was the remembrance of how, after that, they were formed as a community when God gave them the Torah, the law. So we celebrate Pentecost today with much the same emphasis on formation of community, birth of a people of God. But we add another chapter or layer to it. It's the day we remember our formation as a spiritual community. This is when God said, "You are my people. I am your God. You are my people. In Jesus, I have set you free from the constraints of law and released you into the arms of grace. And now you are a new sort of people. Go and take that news to the world around you." So we say happy birthday to the church in many different languages, because this is the day that the Holy Spirit came down and the church was born. The day that the violent, rushing wind and tongues of fire came down and ignited the movement that 1900 years later gave birth to Liberty Presbyterian Church. Yes, our Western Pennsylvanian church looks a bit different than the church first established 2,000 years ago, half a world away. It should. Teresa's been doing some really valuable and commendable research on the history of this congregation, preserving old records, organizing session minutes from the early 1900s, things like that. And you should ask her about it sometime, because our heritage as a congregation, as a community, is of the utmost importance. And when we trace our heritage all the way back, it goes back even further than Teresa can trace it from the stuff in the basement. We can trace it straight back to that moment in that house with the disciples. The moment when a windstorm that would make a Kansan quake in her boots kicked up in the middle of a house. The day when people were touched by heavenly fire and were not burned, but whose hearts were set on fire. Pentecost is when we say, "This is who we are." And it is something different. Often on our national patriotic holidays, like Memorial Day, Independence Day, Veterans Day, we pray for our nation, and we absolutely must and should do that. But sometimes we start to worry a bit in those prayers and ask God, what has happened to the country? Where did God go out there? Why have people stopped coming to church? What's wrong with our nation? What are the people out there doing wrong? Why did they turn away from God? And those are the wrong questions. Or at the very least, they ought to be pretty low on our priority list. Our first questions should be introspective, looking inward at ourselves, not looking out at the world. If the world's not getting it, our first question should be, where do I need to let the Holy Spirit into my life? Where do we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as a community? In what ways are we failing to submit to the wild, wonderful, terrifying, life-giving, fire-filled ways of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit came first to those believers gathered together on Pentecost. And then the unbelievers couldn't quench it. The Spirit came to them as they waited expectantly, not just optimistically, thinking the Holy Spirit could come at any time now, but expectantly, saying confidently, the Holy Spirit is going to show up at any moment now. They didn't just throw their bulletins to the wind and put their hands up or clap during one or two of the songs. I mean, if you want to put your hands up or clap during the songs, feel free. God loves an energetic hymn sing. That's a great start, but that's not the violent rushing wind. That's simply a way to open oneself up to it. I actually like a little bit of talk back during a sermon, so you can always feel free to shout amen or okay now or preach or whatever in the middle of a sermon. I won't mind. It lets me know you're still awake out there. You are still awake out there, right? But that's not tongues of fire. That's a way of opening yourself up to the movement of the Spirit. But that in and of itself is not the Spirit's movement. The Holy Spirit affects the church first, fills up the believers gathered for worship, and ignites something in them that causes them to rush out of the doors and start telling the good news with such passion and such enthusiasm and such energy that some people think they've hit the bottle a little early today. Our next hymn is Holy Spirit, Flow Through Me. The words are, Holy Spirit, flow through me and make my life what it ought to be. Holy Spirit, rest on me and use me, Lord. Win the lost to thee. Holy Spirit, flow out from me, that others, Lord, may see you in me. I want you to really think about what the Holy Spirit filling the disciples looked like, what it meant, what happened as a result. And while you're singing, I want you to really think about what this would look like if we truly believed it could happen in the church today as well. And if you need to, in order to really listen to the words and to hush your soul and hear the Spirit, stop singing. That's okay. I'll keep singing up here. I'm not shy about a microphone. Our church is very different than the gathering of the disciples 2,000 years ago. I don't know what exactly the movement of the Holy Spirit will look like or sound like in our midst. In fact, if I thought I knew, I would probably be wrong because I thought I knew. But I know that the Holy Spirit shows up when we make space. Might be a violent rushing wind, but I doubt it. Sometimes the silence speaks as powerfully as a violent rushing wind. So after that hymn, before I call for the offering, I want you to just wait. And I don't know what to tell you to wait for. We might sit for a few moments in silent prayer, continuing to pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I might lead us in an a cappella round or two of one of the choruses we've sung this morning. I might pray out loud. I don't exactly know yet. Maybe one of you will stand up and pray or lead a song. We'll let the Spirit be our guide. And I know that this is hard for us Presbyterians. I've been Presbyterian since before I was born. But I know you guys, and I know you can do it. As we first sing, let us pray that the Holy Spirit would descend on each of us, that we would be filled with the power of the Spirit, and that the power would flow out of us, renewing the church and the world that it touches. Let us pray together by singing hymn number 164, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Thank you.
You may be seated as we pray. Almighty God, we thank you for sending your Spirit. We thank you for our rich heritage as a Christian church as a whole. We thank you for those who have come before us who are bold to preach your word to those around them, to share your love, to share the good news. We ask that you would fill each and every one of us this morning as we move forth. You would guide us. You would show us how we can continue your mission, your ministry, in the way that the disciples did that first Pentecost when they were filled with your Spirit, when they were touched by that wind. Ignited by that fire, we ask that you would touch us, that you would ignite us with your fire. We pray for the community around us, Lord. We pray for those who think this is all just a little bit crazy. We ask that you would teach us how to speak their language. Teach us, Lord God, guide us, so that we might be effective witnesses to your gospel. Sustain us through your Spirit. Light the path in front of us. Help us to make room for your movement, Lord God. Help us to set ourselves aside. That we might be filled with you. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.